When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to episode 5 of Cast and Crank Podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. We made it through a month. We got a special guest today, Danny from Harbor Creepers.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. And we got Justin, of course.
Hello.
So let's start off by talking about your fishing career. Like, what made you get into fishing, pursue it more, start a page, you know?
You know, my dad was a huge influence on me fishing. And not too long ago, a couple of years ago, he passed away.
Sorry about that.
I mean, you know, it is what it is, but... He started me off when, you know, I can't even remember back when he started me off. I was born in Hawaii, so my dad and my mom would take, you know, these beach walks and stuff like that. And I'd be out there digging in the sand. And, you know, my dad would catch fish on the beach and, you know, he'd show me the little fish. And I'm sure I was little shit, you know, buried in the sand or something like that, you know. So I did that for as long as, you know, I can't even remember all that time. But, you know, I do have some memories when I was younger, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, actually having a pole in my hand.
Wow.
On the beach, catching, you know, little small fish. It was all on bait. And, you know, my living in Hawaii, you know, a lot of people over there live and die pretty much by the water.
Yeah.
You know, it's surrounded by water all over you, wherever you go on that island.
What island were you on?
Oahu.
Okay.
So I was born in Kaiser Permanente, Honolulu, and Oahu is where we called home when we were there. And you know, that was just fun for my dad. You know, he actually, was a commercial fisherman over there too. Longline guy. And, as I got older, we're talking like maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, I would go out there with him on these commercial trips. My mom wasn't too happy, little 8-year-old, firstborn boy out there in the middle of the ocean. But, you know, my dad is a salty guy. So, you know, he was able to take care of me out there. And, you know, I've got pictures of me sitting on a like 80, 90 pound big eye out there caught on long.
That's amazing.
So I've been fishing ever since I can freaking remember.
Yeah.
Actually, before I can even remember. Yeah. And once we moved over here to the States.
How old were you then when you moved here?
Must have been about 10. Wow. 9,
so
10
you had a decent amount of life in Hawaii. Like,
you could remember
growing up.
I could remember
growing up
over there.
Yeah.
And once we moved over here to the States, you know, fishing no matter where you're at in the entire world. Once you're with it, it sticks with you everywhere. So we were we started doing, you know, half-day trips out here along the coast. And the place I can remember the most that I used to fish on was the Isle of Redondo.
Okay.
The barge.
Yeah.
Stuck in the middle of Santa Monica Bay.
Yeah.
Took the Voyager out there, you know, sat on that square platform for hours.
I've been on it a few times. I don't know if it's that one, but I remember the barges.
Yeah, there was one inside the breakwater out in the San Pedro area. This one was right in the middle of Santa Monica Bay.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just a little shit running around out there catching mackerel and, you know, bonita. And sometimes, you know, the deck boss, I think his name was Gary, he would... Breezers of yellows, and everybody runs to one side. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, yeah. Why is everybody running over there? So, did a lot of that. And then as soon as I got my license, it was over.
Yeah.
Every weekend I was jumping in my car and I was driving wherever I could go to get a bike, you know? So, I'm 41 now, so it's been 30 plus years at least that I've been, the water's been in my
And you've
blood.
Just been a salt guy most of the time, right?
Yeah, you know, we would go to lakes every so often for family reunions and stuff like that. You know, get some mealworms, catch a couple bluegill just to pass the time. But I've never really been a fresh guy. The salt has always, you know, drawn me.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as I got older, I started accumulating more gear. I mean, that's a, you know.
Yeah.
As a story.
It's everybody's
story out on its own, you know what I mean? And, you know, this is where we're at now.
It's great. So what makes, when did you get into, like, spotty fishing? Because you seem to be a pretty big spotty fisherman.
Well, you know, I work in Carson. Uh-huh. And Carson's not too far away from, you know, a lot of, I would say, prime locations to catch spotties, you know. So I've been doing that for a long time. You know, my dad, me and him would go out and, you know, I would say, you know, going on more than 15 years ago.
Wow.
You know, we've got, you know, we used to fish spotties back then when the only thing pretty much you could throw out as a plastic was a twin tail scampi.
You know, you got, those are old school.
And you got like the chartreuse, the root beer. Yeah. And, you know, those were the hot in colors, right? So we used to catch them a lot on those baits. And it's definitely not what it used to be.
Were those the first plastics that they ever...
I'm not sure on the timeline as far as what came from, you know, the chicken before the egg, but... Yeah.
I remember those, like, when I was a little kid, that's what we were using.
Oh, man, those things rock, dude. You
know, see, I don't know all this. Justin's been fishing way longer. I got into fishing because my son got a pole when he was 10.
Right.
Or no, I'm sorry, he was 6. So right. I've been fishing for 10 years. You know, not long, really,
right.
If you think about it. And I didn't get to go through all aspects, so it's kind of, I hear these old stories, I'm like, damn, you know, I hear some, like my uncle tells me and him, like Justin will go, oh, I remember when Braid came out, you know, and I'm I fucking remember Braid always.
right.
But this is interesting, man, very.
Yeah, so, you know, we used to do that, and, you know, we used to... quote unquote creep around at night.
You know, be a creeper.
Yeah. Go from different spot to spot, and you know, back then harbor patrol and port police.
Get on,
you know, they weren't on their trip that they are on now.
Yeah.
A lot cooler than there wasn't as many people. You got social media.
Right.
It's like, dude.
I mean, social media now has blown pretty much everything up.
Yeah.
So it's just something that number one, you know, you fish the harbor, it's cheap.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out there with, you know, thousands of dollars of gear in order to catch some fish, you know, and it's just, it's time on the water, right? I mean, I can remember maybe the first couple times we've done that, and this was all new to us moving from here, you know, moving here to the mainland. And, you know, we'd go hours and hours and hours and sessions without catching shit.
Yeah. You know? I hear you, man.
At nighttime, there's nobody else out there to ask, hey, what are you using? You know, none of that stuff. So it was all trial and error. And, you know, once you kind of figure it out or get a good idea of what to do or what to use.
Yeah.
Then it just becomes, you know. perfecting techniques or whatever you want to call it.
Skipping those beats right under the docks, right?
Yeah, doing as much as you can, as much as possible. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now.
That's awesome. So tell us about what made you want to start the page, Harbor Creepers.
You know, it was just one of these things where, you know, I'm on Instagram and I see a lot of like pelagic type pages, you know, people catching marlin and tuna and stuff like that. And I just one day, hey, man, you know, I see people posting a lot of the inshore stuff that they're doing, but there's no page really dedicated to it. Screw it, you know, let's try to make a page and see how it goes. And when I first originally started the page off, I didn't have too many friends or people that I knew that actually were into that kind of lifestyle, so I used my own content just to get it off the ground. And you know, little by little, it just, you know, started to grow. And once I felt like I had enough, you know, I don't want to say following, but enough people, I took all my shit down and then I started putting other people's stuff up.
You got to do what you got to do in the beginning, right? Yeah.
And once I've started putting other people's stuff up, you know, a lot of people just took to it kind of like water. So, you know, it's been fun.
Yeah.
You meet a lot of new people. Met a ton of good people, cool people on that page. But as you can imagine, you know, there's also a bunch of fucking douchebags.
Hey, you know what? If one thing I see, I like that you're truthful.
Yeah.
You know, you'll say the truth on your page. And some people don't do that. I respect that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've never been anybody to kind of sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Now, my personal views are not what everybody else may. But there are some things that are kind of like cut and dry, black and white.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I'll give my opinion, I'll start like a poll or like a question. I'll put it on the page.
Yeah, and I've asked you questions before on that.
Right. Yeah, like, same here.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, not everybody has the same opinion, not everybody. But it's a place to... for everybody to kind of put out their own opinions, because what Jason might say, I may have never even thought about.
Yeah.
And I turn around and go try it and start fucking smashing them. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a give and take, but it's everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Sometimes those kind of posts kind of go sideways.
I see. Hey, there's popcorn. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit for a minute and read through this post.
Yeah, sometimes they go sideways, and I can't control. It's a public forum. I can't control what people say, and I'm also not going to delete people's comments, because then that kind of shows a little bias one way or the other, right?
100%.
So I want it to be an open forum where everybody can discuss it, but you know, it goes sideways sometimes, and you know. It is what it is after that.
Sure, so.
So you get that charter all together that you're putting together?
Say that again.
The charter that you were putting together, is that all?
We've actually had two already on the Betty G out of Redondo.
Okay.
That was just a 3/4-day charter all the way across, you know, go to the island, mess around. I do have one coming up actually next weekend.
Yeah.
On the Pride. Hopefully we can go out there and catch a few tuna fish.
Did you do another one previously?
Yeah, we actually not a tuna trip, but we did a couple this year.
How did those go?
Those went really well, man. I mean, the people that were on the trip I've been in contact with.
Awesome.
Super cool dudes. One guy actually on the first one even brought his wife, and she was freaking mashing them.
That's so, how it works usually, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was good. It's good times, man. You know, I want to start putting more of these together. I think I have another one on the Betty G end of October.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully we can go across and catch some fish. You know, really, you know, catching fish is kind of the bonus, right? I mean, just really being out there.
Getting a break from life, right?
Exactly.
From work,
everything. You know, exactly. So it's been fun.
Definitely.
So
So another thing we're going to try to do a little more of is do like a beginner section. So say if someone wants to get into spotted bass fishing,
yeah,
what can you give them as like a good tip? Like maybe a good way to just start catching them?
You know, not there. I mean, you can go out and chuck swim baits all you want,
mm-hmm.
you know, and personally, I think if you're going to start out, you probably don't want to start that route.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, hook, you know, getting the swim bait yeah. straight, you know, that takes a lot yeah, of time. And those yeah. things are, what, 65 to like $1.50 each?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're rigging them wrong to begin with, then yeah. you're blowing a lot of money. Me personally, I think, like, just go to Walmart, buy a pack of flukes. You pretty much can't fuck up a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you can put a fluke on anything. A standard, you know, round ball head, you know, weighted swim bait hook. You can fish them on the drop shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's probably the easiest way to go if you're going to start off.
Just,
you know, just brand new to the game, you know, and you know, beginners, you know, they're going to walk out, look at a section of water, and they're probably going to try to cast out into the middle.
Yeah.
You know, if you're fishing spotties, man, you got to know, structure, right? You just drop it down to a piling. You get on a set of docks that has 50 pilings. If you drop a fluke down on every one of those pilings and you only got bit on half of them or even yeah. a quarter of them, you know, you're catching 10 yeah, fish at least.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I would.
What about line and a recommendation for like gear? So like a rod, maybe a reel, and even line, because you know, like people have their different opinions.
Yeah,
you know.
Again, go to Walmart.
You know, yeah, Walmart. Yeah. 100%. Just start off. I mean,
pick up a cheap rod. You know, they've got cheap rods out there for like 10-15 bucks at Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, 2,000 or 3,000 size spinning reel.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, I would say 10-pound test. And if you're into the leader thing, you know, maybe like, you know, 8. Well, it kind of depends. You know, during the day, you probably want to scale down as much yeah. as possible. You know, 8-pound fluoro or something like that. But,
yeah.
you know, at nighttime, man.
Don't matter.
It doesn't matter, but for some reason at nighttime, they The bigger ones will completely tear you up. An 8-pound 8-pound fluoro is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Or most docks and pilings, man. Yeah. So me personally, I you know, I meet people, I tell them how I fish, and they're like, "What the fuck? Really?" So I fish lockdown drags.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them no chance.
Yeah. Right?
30-pound fluoro and button down drag and
rip their lips right off.
Yeah, I'm
going to
pull them off, man. Because you never know. You're going to drop it down. It could be a 8-inch fish or it could be that 4-pounder that everybody's looking for. You know what I mean?
So definitely.
It all kind of, you know, there's a difference between fishing during the day and during
the night.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
And if people are out there catching 3-pounders on 8-pound fluoro, more props to you guys.
Yeah, that takes some talent.
I can rarely pull one of those things out of there.
Yeah, man.
So.
What about a PB spotty?
You know, I'm not too big on measuring my fish or weighing, putting them on a scale to weigh them. I've caught plenty of calicos and I've caught plenty of sand bass that I kind of can gauge where they're at, you know. What I do as far as like getting a length kind of a measurement roundabout kind of way is on my rods I put a couple pieces of electrical tape.
That's a good call. I usually, if I don't have a tape measure, I do the same thing. I lay it next to my rod and I'll be like, all right, this spot right here, I'll remember.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can go home and measure it and be like, ah, whatever it was,
right.
you know.
Right. So I'll put one at 14.
Yeah.
And then I'll put another one at 22 just in case.
Just in case, right?
Just in case I catch a stupid halibut while I'm messing around, you know? And then anything after there is kind of like jumbo status if you can get it past that, you know.
And have you caught a spotty that's...
I've not one that reached all the way to 22.
But close? But
pretty damn close. I mean, you know.
What was that on?
That was on a swim bait.
Really?
Yeah. That was on a 3-inch little swim bait.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just...
And now, was the fight that great with that big of a spotty, or was it kind of like, not really?
It might have been.
Yeah.
But because I fished lockdown drags, I just... You could tell as soon as you get that first couple cranks on that fish, you could kind of tell, is this a serious one, or am I just going to water ski this guy back to, you know, where I'm at? So that one was a serious one, and I was waiting for him to run under a dock or and bust me off, but luckily I got him out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it weighed. It was pretty close to 22 inches.
Wow,
it was
maybe that's like a quarter. Big spotty. I would say
half to maybe quarter inch away from being 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You know, got lucky. I got lucky, man. Honestly. Yeah, catching a bunch of little 8,
that,
10.
Was that on the docks too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was straight.
Spotties, your, sorry.
That's good.
Is that your favorite spotties, or what's like?
I classify myself as a fisherman, man. So,
yeah. Anything that pulls.
I won't stoop down. If I'm getting skunked, I won't stoop down to put in a little jerk bait on and start catching mackerel. I won't go that far. Even though it's fun. Don't get me wrong. That's how I started, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm out there targeting bass, I want to catch bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you see mackerel jumping around the harbor all the time. You probably could, you know, if you wanted to slay the fuck out of them, but I just, it's just kind of not my thing. So it's, you know, it's fun. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend a ton of money on gear. I mean, because I'm, you know, I've progressed and I've got older, you know, I'm not at the point where I can use like beginner stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to fish kind of the upper end, higher end stuff.
And you have a certain type of tackle you want to use because it feels comfortable to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's you know, it's personal preference, you know, the lightness of the rod, you know, the reel, stuff like that. So
what's your go-to rig, say, for a spotty?
So for a long time, I was just a chuck and wine guy, you know. Round bait cast or low profile bait casting reel and a bait casting rod.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been kind of on a spinning reel trip.
Wow.
So I've been fishing a little lighter. You know, pretty much all the way across, lighter braid.
Yeah.
Smaller spinning reel. Something you would probably
a drop shot rig almost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Drop shot rig almost. You know, me personally, my spinning reel is a Stratic 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Put a 30-pound braid on it, and I'll fish like a 20 to 25-pound fluoro leader.
Yeah.
I do a lot of nighttime stuff. And
what kind of rod?
It's a Cousins RSK. Hey,
you lost your warranty, bro. And if you listen to one of the podcasts I talk about, I bought all Cousins rods. That's 6 Cousins rods.
I know.
And now they're out of business. I'm like, fuck.
I know.
But I love them. They're great rods. I love Cousins rods. I'm all about them.
I'm horrible on my tackle. I throw my shit around.
You broke one, right? And you got a warranty, but the guy was cool, right?
The guy was totally cool. He, you know, I've seen posts on people saying that their warranty, you know, program was garbage.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
They've always been super cool with
That's cool, man.
If I needed anything done. So,
sad to hear him go.
Sad to hear him go, man.
Yeah. But you can get him for real cheap right now.
Yeah. 40% off.
Yeah, everybody, you're going to save on Big Fish.
Big Fish. Yeah. I think it was Big Fish. Yeah. I saw 40% off. I wish I had time to go down.
Yeah, exactly. Just give him the time, man. It's just like, I'm just going to tackle warehouse and order.
Some great deals, I'm sure. And I'm sure, sure some people pulled some quality stuff out of there. But
well, I guess they're having a warehouse sale. They just had blanks. Someone posted it, I think, in Western Species.
Yeah, they're going to be blanks, components there at like super cheap prices on a certain day. And I think I even read something in October.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go
do
down
the finished rods in October. So if you can get down there,
I'm going to grab a couple.
I'm sure there's
going to
be
yeah.
some great deals down there. Those
for
are
sure, man.
Quality rods made in the USA. Yeah. You know, so I'm kind of a big supporter of that, too.
Yeah, that was my choice as Cousins in Phoenix. And I'm like, Cousins was a little cheaper, so I'm like, oh, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Phoenix is like, damn, man, I don't know if I can spend that much money. You know?
Yeah. Tackle addiction, man.
Dude, 100%.
You know, you see the price tag, and you're like, fuck, I know I shouldn't, but fuck it, I'm going to get it.
Find the excuse to drop the money.
Exactly. Dude, I had, when I first started fishing, I had a credit card, but my wife kept paying it. So I kept buying fucking tackle all the time. And she's like, oh, this credit card should be paid off. So she looks and it's like, the fuck? It's like $2,000 on this credit card. So she comes to me and goes, what the fuck? I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, well, what, I got a balance again?
Yeah. How's it go up? I've been paying $200. I'm like, I'm sorry. My bad.
In my opinion, credit cards are great for if you have an emergencies. Otherwise,
Cut them up.
I learned my lesson with those when I was younger.
I think everyone learned their lesson when they're young.
Yeah, it only takes once for you to open your eyes,
right?
Yeah,
dude. For sure.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When did you start the whole Harbor Creepers thing? It's been a couple years? Or
at least a couple years now.
Not bad. You have a lot of followers for...
I'll go on there periodically and look, and I'll have like four or five people, you know, requesting to follow it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, it just slowly starts to build, and, you know, the more people, you know, say, hey, there's this page on Instagram, they post nothing but, you know, harbor catches and stuff like that. You
that's
know,
cool, man.
Start, you know, getting attracted to it or whatever, and they'll follow us, and I'll follow them back. If you notice, I got like 5,600 people that are following the page, and I'm following like 5,100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's cool to see what everybody's kind of out there doing.
Exactly.
You know, I've been fishing a long time, but I've also learned a lot too.
No, yeah.
You know, when it comes to fishing, I don't think you can kind of pigeonhole yourself into one technique. Or, I try to challenge myself as much as possible. You know, I'm pretty sure I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but I'm pretty sure I can catch them on a fluke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But can I tie on a spinnerbait and catch one in the same area?
Yeah.
Or can I tie on a crankbait and catch one in the same area?
Exactly.
So I kind of, you know, challenge. Oh shit! I kind of challenge myself.
Yeah.
To try and
make
sense. Different techniques and
that's how
try
you,
to catch
you
one.
Get better too.
Right. Yeah. If anything, it's taught me how to be patient as hell, man.
Because
I'll go fishing with my son, and he'll be down a couple, 10 or 15 yards down the jetty, and he'll be smacking the shit out of him on a fluke, and I'm here sitting here throwing a spinner bait, and I'm not catching shit.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to get, you know, challenge myself. Can I catch one in the same spot? I know a fluke is going to work because he's smashing the hell out of him. They're probably turning their noses up to a spinner bait, but I just want to catch one. That's it. Just one.
Yeah.
Then I've accomplished my goal. Then I can go to throw
go back to the fluke.
Yeah, and head them off to, you know.
How'd you How'd you get your kids started fishing?
You know, just the way that my dad started me. Same. I wanted to start them, you know, in this passion,
yeah,
you know, that I have. And all three of them have taken to fishing, you know, like a duck to water.
You start them on salt, or
I started them on salt. I didn't start them as early as my dad started me, but to the point where, you know, I know that if I'm I'm standing next to them the whole time, that they're gonna be okay.
Yeah,
they're not gonna fucking put their foot on the rail and jump over in the middle of a bite or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I started my oldest maybe when he was 5. I started my daughter when she was 5. And my youngest, you know, pretty much at 5, 6 years old. Yeah. And they're so busy doing other stuff, whether it's school, sports, that it's kind of hard to, you know, get them all at the same time. All at the same place, sure. Because, you know, not only are they in school during the week, but, you know, the weekends, because they play sports, they have practices and games, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, hey, Dad's going to. Yeah, exactly. Life. It's kind of like, hey, I'm going to go fishing in the harbor tonight. Fuck, Dad, I just got from practice.
Exactly.
You know, drag me out there. Yeah. You know, my kids, they they can't hang.
I mean, the kid has to really love it. I feel like, because I'll get up, same thing, and I'll tell my boy, hey, we're gonna go fishing tomorrow. My middle one,
right?
He'll be like, yeah, and then he'll come into our room crying, like at 12 midnight. He'll be like, I feel bad. I don't want to go fishing, Dad. I feel really bad. And he's crying, and I'm like, dude, we don't have to go. It's not a big deal. You know, like, he's just tired. You know, like.
There's been multiple times that I've taken them out there, and you know, we'll go to maybe like 3 or 4 different spots, and after the second one, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, Dad, I'm so tired. I'm just gonna sit in here and go to sleep. And I was like, all right, then I'll continue.
Go to sleep.
Fishing.
I'll keep fishing.
Yeah, go to sleep. I'll keep fishing. I'm out here for a reason.
Dude, my son's the opposite. He's like, I'll fish every day. Like, he's big time into it.
Dude, that's the best. Yeah. Man. That's
my daughter's starting to get more into it.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, they're the next ones who are going to continue this passion that we've got. Yeah. So, you know, as much time as they can be out there, that's primo,
definitely.
Dude, for sure.
Now, have you gotten a lot of backlash from the page at all, from people, or just kind of like here and there, as people like messaged you, ever been like, bro, you're a jerk?
The DMs are fucking crazy, dude.
I did some funny stuff on there, and I seen pages
that
are funny too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's, like I said, it all comes back to everybody having their own opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you stand for might not be the same thing I stand for. And whether you want to put it out in public like that or through the DMs, I get people who are total jerk offs, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's their opinion. I can't force them to, you know, think a different way.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I do.
You do?
I do. Is it quite often? No.
That's good.
But there is that element to it that comes with the territory, man.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? You just got to be able to, you know, either handle it. I'm not a very good, I'm not too politically correct.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes at me sideways like that, it's pretty much
coming right back at him.
Yeah, fuck you. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm just too old, and I just can't.
Yeah, you're too old for the BS.
You don't got time to fuck with that.
Yeah, I don't got time for that.
Do you have any a good rookie mistake story?
Dude, I saw your text and I was thinking about it. I was like, dude, after 30 plus years, there's a hell of a lot.
Yeah,
of them.
The one
that I wanted to bring up the most was it is a rookie mistake. I made it myself, but it also could have costed me a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on this calico bite inside the harbor, and it was fucking wide open.
Boat or
shore. From shore. And it was wide open. Every freaking cast was a fish. And as it progressed, it started getting the fish. Well, they started getting bigger. not wall big, but, you know, for harbor, you're talking about 12, 13, 14 inch fish. You know, calicos good. Inside the harbor, that's, you know, that's a pretty decent bite. And because it was so great, I was fishing kind of up higher on a jetty because the tide was pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get closer to the water.
Yeah.
So I started to make my way down closer and closer to the water. And I knew better. Yeah. You know, it's low tide. You're gonna step on a rock and slip. I ended up stepping on a rock.
Oh, man.
Slipping.
Yeah.
I had just bought a brand new reel. The reel freaking, like, I actually look at that reel, and it's a reminder to me now. I use that reel a lot. It's a reminder to me now to, like, dude, don't be a fucking dumbass anymore. I ended up slipping, falling, hitting my head on a rock.
Oh, shit.
Never blacked out.
That's good.
But I had my backpack on, and when I slipped and fell, I hit my head, and I kind of got my backpack wedged in between a couple rocks.
Oh, man.
And I was trying to get up, and, you know, I was dazed a little bit, and I was trying to get up, and I couldn't move.
Uh-huh.
I was like, fuck, did I just, am I fucking paralyzed now, or what the fuck is happening? Well, what happened was my backpack was stuck in, was wedged in between two rocks, and I was like, my bottom half was totally submerged in the water. So,
damn.
Took my backpack off. You know, once I got to my senses, I took my backpack off, fucking threw the shit out. And this was like February. So the water was fucking
man, it
cold.
Probably shocked you.
Water
you...
was cold as fuck. Yeah. As soon as I got out, I was, completely drenched,
dude,
soaking wet.
Yeah, it's scary.
You know, if that's something, if that's happened to somebody else, they're like, fuck this, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Ask me what I started doing after that happened.
Fishing up
there.
Did you get your backpack out?
I got my backpack out, but everything in there was fucking ruined after that. All my tackle boxes had fucking
salt.
Water in them.
Yeah.
I just had bought a bunch of new lead heads.
Done.
Fucking... took all the water out of them, went home that night, soaked them down with fresh water, let them sit out there, and within a week, they were all fucking rusted. That sucks. Son of a
bitch. Well, that's a good story to let people know. Definitely.
Yeah, you kind of take, not take it for granted, but you kind of pull some bonehead moves sometimes, and sometimes it can cost you... you know, the ultimate price.
Definitely.
That's definitely not the first one I've had either.
Yeah.
You know, there was another one too. I was in Newport, and I had casted parallel to a set of docks, and this stupid sailboat was out there at the end of my cast. So my cat, at the end of the cast, my lure got hung up on one of the ropes or whatever you call it on a sailboat. So I walked down the dock, unhooked it, threw it in the water. And as soon as I was reeling it back, I actually got bit. Well, it had just rained like the day before, and I was on a not your typical dock. It's more one of those floating like sectional pieces of dock. So when I went to set the hook, my feet came out from underneath me, slipped, fell in the water.
You fell in the water.
Yeah, totally in the water up to my neck. So. Mind you, I'm at kind of parallel to a dock. And so I slipped. Current was actually moving pretty fast.
Oh, man.
I had sweats on, a jacket, because this was in the wintertime, too. Sweats, jacket, my backpack. As soon as I felt my feet go out from underneath me, first thing I do is throw the rod up in there on the dock. Like, oh, it's not going to leave me. So I throw that thing up there. And because I'm submerged all the way up to my neck, the current's pushing underneath the dock.
Yeah.
So my feet are actually
underneath
the dock.
Oh, my God. How scary.
And I could feel it just so.
Yeah.
For everything I could, man, I just grabbed on with one hand, unzipped my jacket, let that motherfucker go, took my damn sweats off, let that thing go, and I was able to, like,
pull myself up.
Oh, but that thing was taking me right up under. The current was taking me right up
under
the dock,
dude.
Man.
That is so scary.
those are the things that I think, you know, people might want to
think
about before they go out there, because, you know, like they say, when you drown, you don't make a sound, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, and, you know, plus me being me fishing at nighttime,
yeah,
there's absolutely nobody out there to help you. So, yeah, you know, just be mindful of that. I've got plenty of stories of losing fish and all that stuff. That you know, that comes with the territory.
But yeah,
those are the ones that kind of stick out in my head the most.
Yeah, my kids, you know, just pond fishing. They both fell in, and I swimming. You know, got them in swimming class after that. My daughter was the scariest because we're at Carbon Canyon. It's murky, and they were running around me, chasing each other, and I, you know, tell them don't run by the edge, you know, the edge of the shore.
Right,
and sure enough, here comes my daughter. She takes a toe in the grass and just shoots straight out. And, like, she, you know, went under the water and was, like, going out. I had to jump in and grab her that time. And
it's scary, yeah, dude. Scary.
Then my son, he actually jumped in after we started the swimming classes. Because they were starting to do that in the swimming class, jump off the edge.
Dad, watch this.
Right, right.
So I look over and I see him, like, he's about to jump in. It was at Laguna, off one of the ledges. I'm like, Jeremy. And he looks at me like, oh, shit, I got caught, you know. But he's already jumping in.
Yeah.
So then he hits the water, starts crying, acting like he fell in, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, probably a month ago, he's like, hey, Dad. He's like, I jumped in. I didn't fall in. I was like,
right. Right.
And then he actually pushed his sister in once. He got mad at her. And just so, yeah. Yeah, definitely got to be safe. You know,
safety around the water is 100%.
No, 100%, you know? Man.
The two stories that I just gave, I should have known better.
Yeah.
Right? It was the last thing on my mind. And now I'm way more conscious. And after I look at that reel, you know, I look down at that reel, shit is all every scarred time. Up. I'm like, dude, you're not doing that. I just, you know. When did I go? I went out like Tuesday, and it was a lower tide too, and I could have walked down as far as I walked down as far as possible, and I had more to go.
You see all those slick rocks, you're like,
Now I look, you know, I look at the reel, I'm like, nah, dude, don't do it, man. It's not worth it, dude.
You ever got arrested on the dock?
No,
never.
You know, back in the days, Harbor Patrol and port police, they weren't as much, you know. I'm gonna say it, dude. Maybe there might be one of them out there, but they're assholes now. You know, they weren't like that back in the days.
Yeah.
So now you gotta kind of pretty much watch your P's and Q's, and if you're gonna go to places where you're not supposed to be, keep your head on a swivel, man, because those guys will sneak up on you like crazy.
They'll just kick you out, or they take your gear.
I've heard stories of people taking their gear, getting their gear confiscated. I've heard people, you know, say that they just kind of, you know, tell them to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
I personally thought that if they were going to give you a ticket, they confiscated your gear, because if you want your gear back, you got to go
pay the ticket.
Pay the ticket.
It might be,
right? So that's how I thought everything happened, but, you know. I guess it just depends on the guy who's, you know, pulling you over. Does he really want to write that ticket? And you know, those guys don't do much at nighttime anyway. Yeah, so they get any action, they're like, hell yeah, I'm writing this
quota. Down.
Yeah,
give me some quota.
Exactly. So knock on wood, you know, I haven't been caught, and I don't really plan to, but shit, I hope it doesn't happen, man. Yeah. I don't got extra money to pay for tickets.
No, I hear you. We're in the same boat.
I got kids in college. Shit, dude. I'll pay for tuition.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you coming on the podcast, man.
For sure.
It was a fun one.
Of course.
A lot of information about, you know, fishing docks, spotties. Yeah. Do you have any where they can visit the site, or where do they go to visit you?
You know, right now, I coach youth football. So this is the time of year where the page gets kind of pushed off to the side, because I don't really have time to look through all the DMs and all that stuff, because, you know, I don't get home till like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a bunch of DMs in there where people have sent pictures that just, you know,
guys.
Right now, after December, I think we'll start it back up and start posting more, but yeah, it's Harbor Creepers on Instagram, Harbor_Creepers on Instagram.
And you guys have any shirts coming out or anything?
You know, I've always wanted to get into that, man, but again, time.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, time is extremely precious with me right now, and I don't. I'd rather go catch a session than sit down and, you know, print some shirts and stuff like that. Man. So it's been cool, man. It's just a page.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on. This is really cool you to do.
For sure, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
Great.
And thanks for getting my kids on those fish at that spot you recommended.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely welcome, man. I mean, the kids are the next generation, exactly. Right? So, you know, once you get that fire burning in them, you know, stick with them for life.
Yeah.
Then they end up passing it on.
We hope so.
And then it's just a, you know, a never-ending chain. So hopefully, you know, it gets passed along. I did it with my kids, and I'm glad you're doing it with your kids too, man.
Yeah, my dad did the same thing with me. I, you know, like same with you. My dad took me when I was young, and then did the same thing with my kids.
Yeah. Harbor fishing is what, you know, our page is about. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've got my own skiff. I do kind of everything.
Yeah,
you know. Been to the wall, been 30 miles offshore and that thing. And, you know, I just do whatever floats my boat that way. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
I just run a page. You know, but I, you know, that's just the page. And I kind of do.
Love fishing.
Yeah, I kind of do. A little bit of everything, man. Yeah. You know? So.
Great.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. No problem. Thank you.